Utada Hikaru. With First Love. An absolute classic. And totally has nothing to do with Produce 101 Japan Season 3. I did not watch ahead to see the clips in Episode 7. I totally was not aware that there is a cover of First Love, and it bangs. It goes so hard. I didn't know, and that's not why it's here on today's playlist. But I do have a lot of thoughts about it, so stay tuned next week. I'm Leslie, and this is Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. Before that, you heard Debbie Friday with the new track, Let You In. Debbie Friday is a Polaris Award nominee. Their music slaps. Get into it. I am talking about idols yet again. This is my shtick now. I really have to say, I really did not want to talk about Produce 101 Japan like the entirety of today's show. But I will present to you some capital thoughts today, because I feel like I owe it to you, since I don't really have anything else prepared. So I'm going to be a little bit real here. One of the things that has been a huge relief as I've been watching this season is knowing that there are a lot of other female viewers of this program who also indulge in this unhinged, unabashed joy for female idols. When I was first getting into idols, over 10 years ago, and I was really into Girls' Generation and other female K-pop groups of that era, and I was also really into Hello Project and Morning Musume in particular, and Cute, I did not, there were not that many other young female fans that I had known of. At the time, it felt like the consumption of idols was kind of like heterosexually segregated. And so if you were a girl who liked idols, obviously you were liking the boy groups. I liked some, but I wasn't really all that much into that. And, when I was 13 and into Girls' Generation, if I were to go see a Girls' Generation performance live, I'm very likely going to be surrounded by members of the audience who are men who are twice my age. And very similarly, when I was into Hello Project groups. And I think, I'm very grateful for this shift in the comfortability that a lot of, women and girls are feeling about consuming female idol content right now. I have to be grateful for that, because I think, one, doesn't make me feel as alone and weird, but two, I think it presents us with an interesting look into the nuance of gender and culture in some ways. So these are not fully formed thoughts, but kind of try to follow me here, right? And I'm just one Asian woman, and I don't live in Asia, right? So get into that. But I started to see this shift from mostly men consuming female idol content to more women consuming female idol content around the time when there were K-pop groups that came out that were produced to curate an image not always meant to talk to men. And sometimes when these groups talked to men, it was sometimes in like a not a very like romantic way. You know, I'm thinking about, for example, the controversial Mamamoo and EXID. Mamamoo in a lot of their earlier stuff, and I don't know about now, I don't really follow them anymore, but a lot of their earlier stuff, they're really about, like, being women who just did whatever the heck they wanted to. They were all a little bit older than a lot of other female idols when they had first come out, and maybe that gave some flexibility for them to express their femininity and womanhood in a way that wasn't as curated for heterosexual men. And maybe their producers took that as the right opportunity to tap into a different market. And of course, there was also EXID, who is almost a little bit different than Mamamoo, in the sense that, like, EXID wrote a lot of their own songs, and many of their songs are about, like, kicking their boyfriend out of their homes and saying things like, "I hope you freeze to death," and stuff like that. Yeah. You know, it's just, like, ways in which women expressed their womanhood and femininity during that time, that kind of, like, transition from the mid-2010s to the late-2010s, I think really allowed for a lot of other women to take notice of these female groups and be like, actually, you know what? I think they're kind of talking to me now. I don't think they're just talking to my brother and my dad all the time, which is kind of great. You know, Red Velvet also started to do something similar. A little bit similar, not too much, but, you know, for whatever reason, like, Red Velvet decided to take on the producers of Red Velvet. They decided to make the group become one in which they had a lot of concepts and songs about hunting men down and, like, I don't know, Tomie style, like, tormented them, I guess. And then during those years, you also saw this, like, really big shift in the demographics for their fandom, where it ended up that, like, a lot of men left the fandom, and a lot more women started to come in. I think that's really interesting, because I think a lot of idol groups, they have to do that now these days, right? When I think about my fantasy top 11, when I, like, put together these names and stuff, I have to consciously think about, like, who, if I was the producer of this group, which apparently I am, as a viewer of the show, if I was the producer of this group, what type of people do I want to appeal to this group? It is undeniable that there are gonna have to be, like, even though I am super old and I don't necessarily always want to follow idol groups that are solely made up of teenagers, it is undeniable to me that, like, this group, this final group that comes out of the show, it has to have at least a handful of, like, high school students, essentially. Because that is how this industry kind of works. It's, you know, I don't know, classic conversations about, like, quote-unquote representation in media, right? And I also have to think about, I'm an older woman now. I'm watching the show. Nobody is older than me. I'm older than all of the contestants. So I have to sometimes watch the show and think to myself, who can I relate to? Right? If I were producing this program, oh, I can relate to this girl, I can relate to this girl. Oh, this girl has also heard this old song before that I know. Obviously, she's going into my top 11. Right? It's this way, I think, the idol groups are kind of like produced and made up now, that has seen like this interesting shift from wanting to solely appeal to young men and now wanting to appeal to a lot more women as well. It's very interesting, I think. I wonder what it is that makes these other female viewers pick their favorite contestant in the show. What is it that makes them pick their top 11? I'm very interested in understanding that. I wonder if I'm like, if I've like gone too far, like I've been making my own conspiracy theories, or if I'm somewhere in the ballpark. I do also have to like acknowledge that I feel like, again, I am Michelle Visage. I am thinking about the future, the industry of drag. So I'm thinking about it in a different way compared to a lot of other female audience members of this program. You know, I'm just like a lot more relieved. I feel a lot more seen. I feel a lot more comfortable watching this program and like sharing my thoughts, I think, because I know that there are a lot of like other female viewers who watch this program and who like scream at this program in a similar way that I do. And doesn't make me feel as like, you know, outlandish or strange or even like, I don't know, unladylike in some way. You know, I feel validated in my sisterhood of unhinged idol fans. So I'm feeling very that right now. Putting together this week's fantasy top 11, I've been thinking a lot about, you know, again, like, what types of people do I think would this group appeal to? I've been thinking a lot about like Shiraishi Mai for some reason, and she was a member of an idol group called Nogizaka 46, and she left a few years ago. She was very, very, very popular among like teenage girls and other like young kind of like working age women. I remember one time watching a video clip of her walking down the runway for a street fashion show. And the moment the spotlight hit her, it was all like these girls screaming. They were so excited to see her. I was thinking to myself at the time, like, wow, how powerful is it that she has this much influence amongst young women and girls? And how powerful is it to see somebody what is that like to want to see a part of yourself reflected in Shiraishi Mai? And obviously I still think Mai is really cool. So it made me, you know, like hearing these women yell in the audience, making me feel a little bit like, okay, it's reminding me, like, if I were to actually produce this idol group, who do I want these performers to connect with? Barring, honestly, for me, I mean, barring, like, you know, marketability and stuff like that. Like, how do I hope that young women and girls are validated and seen in this group that I've put together? And you can be the judge of that, of whether or not I'm doing it well or right. Most of these people, quite frankly, I just enjoy them and I think they're good performers. And I think they would work well together. And yeah, that's kind of it. And I'm also trying to figure out like what the vibe of this group is going to be. Like, what kind of concepts would they hold, right? Because like, if it's all like, you know, young high school students, it's very unlikely that they're going to be singing a song anytime soon about like, leave your boyfriend, he sucks. They're probably going to be singing more about like, you know, ooh woo, my first boyfriend and stuff like that. So, but the group that I've put together, as I'm looking at the names right now, I'm realizing they have like a Twice vibe in that like, there are a lot of people who are like Twice in their early stages, right? A lot of young people here, and then one or two people who are older, and they're kind of just like, I'm an older person, I'm taking it in stride. Here we go. My fantasy top 11 has shifted significantly. And you may know why, as I might explain some of why. Number 11 is Otsubo Karen. I really enjoyed her in Wadada. I really liked her talking head when she was like, nowhere to go for me but up, because I'm the lowest ranking contestant. Ha ha. I thought that was really charming for some reason. So she's there. 10, still, Suda Sakura. And these are in no particular order except number 1. Number 1 is number 1 in my heart. Number 9, Ken Watsunano. Frankly, we just needed somebody in here who was also older than the age of 20. And she's doing really well in the rankings. And I've enjoyed her quite a bit. Good performer. Fun, seems to have like a fun personality, very pretty. She's there. 8, Abe Nagomi. Because Takahashi Hina is still in my top 11, and they come in a package. They cannot be separated. Do not separate. They come, like, you buy one, you get the other one, okay? 7, Kitazato Ryo. 6, Kazahara Momona. There's just something. I guess it's when she chopped off all of her hair. I started to notice her a little bit more, and I thought she was, like, really, really charming. She's a huge goofball. Love that. And also, she just seems like she's out here, excited and ready to have a good time. So, Kazahara Momona, who is, you know, last we left off in the eliminations, she was number 1 in the ranking, so there's that. 5, Ishiran, one of my favorites. 4, Uchiyama Rin. 3, Takahashi Hina. 2, Takumi Ayane. I did consider putting Ebihara Suzumi onto my top 11 this week, but I think Suzumi is just going to debut anyways. She's consistently really high in the rankings. She has one of the best set of vocals on this entire show. And Takumi, for whatever reason, she is going up and down in the rankings in the top 11, which makes me worried because I really want to see her debut. So that's my little like push for support for her. And number 1 is still number 1. It's Kato Kokoro. She's number 1 in my heart. You know, it's just how it is. When I put together also the fantasy top 11, I was thinking about, like, what types of positions are they going to hold? And technically speaking, in my fantasy top 11, Kokoro is actually not number 1. She is not in the center, but she's in the top 3. She remains in the top 3. Because I actually think Kokoro is just number 1 here because she's number 1 in my heart. But I actually think if I were really making this group into a real thing, Momona would be number 1. I think she would make a really good center. And Kokoro would be the leader. And I don't really want to see a center also be a leader. So I don't want Kokoro number 1. But I think Kokoro has exactly what it takes to be a good leader for this group that I'm envisioning in my brain and my head. I think it would be fun. Anyways, enough unhinged, uninhibited idol content this week. Listen, if you are free this Wednesday, November 22nd, and in Vancouver, you should consider checking out Horror in Seconds. It's Vancouver's first Black Indigenous People of Color horror festival. They've got movie screenings, horror burlesque, they've got DJ dance parties, and raffle prizes this Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock at Fox Cabaret, 2321 Main Street. All of the horror movies that are going to be viewed are less than 60 seconds or less in length, and with no dialogue. They're all created by emerging Canadian filmmakers. That is extremely exciting. If you are down to support emerging local filmmakers, if you like horror, if you got time Wednesday evening, November 22nd, go check it out. Horror in Seconds, Vancouver's very first BIPOC horror festival. It's happening again at Fox Cabaret at 2321 Main Street at 7 o'clock. Look up Horror in Seconds on Google to find out more. And of course, one last public service announcement. Please continue to contact your public officials to demand for a ceasefire and an open express condemnation to the occupation of Palestine. We must end the siege, and we have to utilize every single civil liberty that we have in order to see the end of these horrific attacks on Gaza, and also now moving up into the West Bank as of the time of recording on Sunday evening. Very concerning stuff. Very scary. I mean, I don't really know much more that I might have to say other than please continue to bear witness to what is happening to Palestinians in Gaza and the West Bank and in the occupied territories. Please continue to advocate and demand for an immediate ceasefire and for the end of the occupation of Palestine. You can call your public officials, you can email them, you can fax them, you can write them letters. Postage is not required, did you know, when you send letters over to Parliament Hill. If you're an analog girly like myself, maybe that's something that you want to consider, right? A postcard that says, you know, demand for a ceasefire. Ceasefire now. End the occupation, you know? Please let us continue to bear witness, to engage in, and advocate and be and help uplift the voices of Palestinians as they face some of the most horrific forms of human rights atrocities being committed in the 21st century right now. Let us continue to advocate. Call your MP. Call, email, fax, write a letter, you know, contact your MP, contact the Prime Minister, contact the Deputy Prime Minister / Minister of Finance, contact the Minister of Foreign Affairs, the Minister of International Development, the Minister of National Defense. You know, I'm going to throw in another one in here as well. Contact the Minister of Immigration, Refugee, and Citizenship. Canada has announced that it will begin to create programs to support Gazan refugees to Canada. However, I would like for you to consider perhaps what it might feel like for a displaced Gazan whose people are experiencing actual genocide to arrive to a country that says that it's going to welcome them here, but this country has also been pretty explicitly complicit and neutral in their displacement and genocide, what would that feel like? Would that not feel dehumanizing or perhaps even belittling? Make it known, you know? Make it known. Demand for a ceasefire and demand for the condemnation of the occupation of Palestine. Ceasefire now. Free Palestine. Tune in to more great CJSF programming. Check out Democracy Now! Every Monday to Friday from 11 to 12 with your host, Amy Goodman. Got some of that accurate grassroots news up in there. That's really helpful to hear during times of global extremity crisis. Mondays to Fridays from 11 to 12. Check them out. My name is Leslie. Thank you so much for tuning in to Typically Tuesdays today. If you have a fantasy top 11 for Produce 101 Season 3 in Japan, let me know. Email me, typicallytuesdays@gmail.com. Signing off this week with one last song. This is Comment de Bois and Desert Alimentaire here on Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. See you next week.
Il y a plein de bébelles qui traînent en tard. Il y a un homme qui passe ses hélicoptères. Une limousine, ses quatre flashers. Un jeu qui sort du dépanneur.
Ça se perd.